Today's reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. You will find it on page 1065 in the Church Bible. Page 1065. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify all to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Thank you, Pat, for reading that for us. So, page 1065 and 1066. I'm going to pray, asking God's help as we look at his word together. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us now, open our eyes to what Jesus is saying here, and would it affect not just our heads and our thoughts, but our hearts and our lives. Amen. Well, over the next few weeks, we and Emmanuel are going to be looking at Jesus and when Jesus met particular people, when he met various people. Now, why are we looking at Jesus? Well, you may think, well, that's obvious. You're a church, Christians, you should be looking at Jesus. Of course we should. But actually, I want to suggest to you that if you're not a Christian today, first, it's great to have you here, and if you're here to support the Matics, that's wonderful. But can I challenge you to have a think about Jesus? And there are a couple of really good reasons for thinking about Jesus. First is, he is the most significant person in world history. The most significant person. H.G. Wells, who you might have heard of, was a writer and a historian, and he said this. He said, it's up on the screen. He said, "I am an historian. I'm not a believer, but I must confess, as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history." he's saying, the biggest person who has ever lived, the most significant person, is Jesus Christ. That in itself should be enough to make us think, well, I ought to look into this man. But actually, there's even more. More than that, you see, is the fact that Jesus is changing lives 2,000 years after he died and rose to life again. He's transforming lives today. It's estimated that over 150,000 people will start following Jesus every day. That is a huge number of people for someone who lived 2,000 years ago. And my hope and prayer is that as we look at Jesus this morning, and over the next few weeks, that, well, if you're a Christian, that you'll be encouraged by what you hear, and you'll be delighted in Jesus all the more. And if you're not a Christian, that maybe he will transform your life, as he has done for me, and as he has done for many others at Emmanuel Church. And so we begin today by looking at when Jesus met a religious nut. His name was Nicodemus. We see him in John chapter 3, don't we? And he was very religious. Just have a look at verse 1. You see how religious he is. He says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, Pharisees were religious leaders. They were very strict on keeping the Old Testament rules. They were very, very religious. Someone has said of this man, Nicodemus, given he's a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, they've said of him that he's like a mixture of a bishop and an MP and a professor of theology, all rolled into one. He would have been highly respected. Very, very religious and very good. But also, very mistaken. Jesus says he's made a big mistake. Now, misunderstandings and mistakes can be costly, can't they? Can't they? It's said that there was once someone who went round from house to house looking for odd jobs. He went to a big mansion and he rang on the doorbell at the back of the mansion, the tradesman's entrance, and the owner of the house came to the door and he said to him, "You got any jobs I can do, Governor?" And he said, "Well, yes, I'll pay you £25 if you go round to the front and paint the front porch." He said, "All right." So he went off to do that. A couple of hours later, he goes back to the tradesman's entrance, rings on the doorbell, and he says, "Well, that was very quick." He said, "Oh, no, it's fine. It wasn't that big a job, really. Oh, by the way, it's a Mercedes, not a Porsche." Some mistakes can be very costly. Sorry about that joke. Some mistakes can be very costly, can't they? But this religious nut, he made a big mistake. What was his big mistake? First off, he approaches Jesus. Let's see what he says. Verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In other words, Jesus, me and my buddies, my Pharisee, Jewish ruling council buddies, we think you're okay. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But what Jesus says to him there would have been a huge shock for him. Would have been a massive shock. See what Jesus says. Verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." In other words, Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, religious, highly respected, you are not in the kingdom of God. You're not in. Here's his mistake. He thought he was in with God when he wasn't. And here's our first point. We've got two. First point is this. Religion and good deeds won't get us in with God. Religion and good deeds won't get us in with God. Now, I think probably as the reading was read and as I just read verse 3 again, some of you, particularly if you're not a Christian this morning, some of you will, the alarm bells will have been ringing. Because the phrase is there, the words are there, born again. And you may be edgy at this point that you're in a church and some of the preacher is talking about being born again. And that Jesus is talking about being born again. Because in our minds, a born-again Christian, there's a whole load of baggage that goes with that, isn't there? That we think, well, that sounds like a religious fanatic, maybe a religious fundamentalist. And if there's one thing we're pretty sure we don't want to be associated with today, it is fundamentalists and religious fanatics. So we think the alarm bells start ringing. But before you start edging your way out of your seat and making your excuses and leaving, remember this. Nicodemus was a religious fanatic. He was deeply religious. And Jesus is saying to him, to the religious fanatic, you need to be born again. So it's not about being fanatic. But do you see what a surprise this would have been for Nicodemus? And actually what a surprise it is for you and me. Because in our estimation, Nicodemus should be at the front of the queue to get into heaven. He was very religious and very good. We're told elsewhere in the New Testament that Pharisees were so good, such sticklers for being good, that they even weighed out their herbs and spices so that they could work out 10% of them so that they could give that away. Do you do that? I don't do that. The things that you grow in your garden, you weigh them out, you give 10% away. I don't do that. I don't grow anything in our garden. But if I did, I still wouldn't do it. But they did. That's how good they were. And yet Jesus is saying it's not me. Now that's surprising, isn't it? Because you and I, we will have in our thinking a ladder of evil to good in our thinking of people, don't we? We think down at the bottom, at the very bottom, you've got people like mass murderers at the bottom. And maybe up from there, I don't know, you've got burglars, and then up from there, you've got football fans. And then, you go up and up and up until you get sort of towards the top where you've got cricket fans. And maybe you've got Mary Berry up there. And it always used to be, Mother Teresa was always way up at the top of you. Okay? You would always think, there you go, there's your scare. And we think, well, we're in there somewhere. You think you're in there somewhere. We know we're not as good as them, but we know we're not as bad as them. And we think, well, if God draws a line somewhere, and we think probably God should draw a line somewhere, shouldn't we? If there is a God, we think, well, he should draw a line somewhere, and because mass murderers shouldn't get into heaven. But we think, well, he draws a line somewhere, and we hope we'll be above the line. But you know, Nicodemus would have been way above you and me. Way above us. And Jesus says he's not in. See, all his religion, all his good deeds, don't get him in with God. And they don't get you in with God either. This surprised me. This shocked me when I first heard it. Well, what's the solution? Well, Jesus doesn't say to him, Nicodemus, be better. Try harder. Do more religion. He doesn't say that. He says you've got to be born again. In other words, you've got to start afresh, a new life. Now, this confuses Nicodemus. He immediately says, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus, I can't go to my mum and say I need to be born again. That's going to confuse her. It's going to frighten her. And he says, yeah, you're right, I'm good. And then he says, verse 5 onwards, we don't have time to go through the week. But he says, you're right, it's not a physical new birth, it's a spiritual new birth. It's essential, but it is spiritual and it's something God does to you. Now you might think, well, if it's something God does to us, if it's a spiritual new birth, there's nothing that we can do about it. You've just got to sit there and wait and see, is God going to do this to you? But that's not what Jesus does with Nicodemus. It's very interesting. He doesn't just say, so hang about and see what God does. He then tells Nicodemus what he's got to do. And we need to skip down a few verses to verses 14 to 16. Would you turn the page with me? And I summarize these verses like this. And this is our second point. Look to the cross. Let me just read verses 14 to 16 again for us. Jesus says to him, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, eternal life and entering the kingdom of God, they're the same thing. So Jesus is saying, this is how you can have eternal life. This is how you can get into the kingdom of God. This is it. This is how to be born again. And for Nicodemus to understand this, Jesus takes him back hundreds of years to Moses and the people of Israel. So we need to travel back there as well, because Nicodemus would have understood this reference. We might not get it. So let me just tell you the story of what happened. Hundreds of years before Jesus, you've got Moses. You remember Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. God rescues the people of God, the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of slavery, and says he's going to take them to the promised land. And on the way, they travel through the wilderness. And while they're going through the wilderness, the people of God, the Israelites, they rebel against God. They say, oh, God hates us. He's brought us out into the desert to kill us. He's against us. And over again, they do this. And one time when they do this, God punishes them. And he sends snakes in amongst the camp. Imagine that. He sends snakes in, venomous snakes, and they are biting people and people are dying. And the people of God come to Moses and say, Moses, will you pray for us that God will take these snakes away? And God says, I'm not going to take the snakes away, but Moses, here's what you're to do. This is how they will be saved. Make a bronze snake. He's to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And anyone who looks at that bronze snake will be saved. They'll be cured. They'll be healed. They won't die. Now imagine you're in the Israelite camp. Imagine you're there. One morning, you wake up, get out of bed, feet on the floor, bitten by a snake. What do you do? Well, you don't hang around, do you? You don't have breakfast first. You think, I'm going to get to that bronze snake, I'm going to look at it so that I will be safe. And if you can't get there because maybe the venom is having a go at your leg and you can't get there, you would shout to your family and say, get me to that bronze snake, I've got to get there. And they would drag you out and look at the snake and be all right. Now, there are some things to the Israelite camp that are completely irrelevant, aren't they? It doesn't matter how rich or poor they were. All they've got to do is look at the snake if they've been bitten. It doesn't matter how good or how bad they were. If they've been bitten by the snake, they've just got to look at the bronze snake. That's all they've got to do. Look at the bronze snake. Some things are irrelevant because the cure was not inside them. It was outside of them. It was on that stick. Okay, come back hundreds of years to Jesus and Nicodemus. Verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up a snake in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Must be lifted up. So he's saying, okay, there's a parallel here. That bronze snake was lifted up, and he says the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's his way of talking about himself. He's saying, I'm going to be lifted up. He's not going to make a model that's going to be lifted up. He's saying, I'm going to be lifted up. And he was, wasn't he? When he died, when he was nailed to the cross, he was lifted up. Verse 15. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Look to the cross, Jesus is saying. That is where your rescue is. That's where you can get in. Because you see, we have a problem. Just as the Israelites had rebelled against God, so have we. That's what the Bible teaches us. We've rebelled against God as well. We've turned away from him. And God doesn't send venomous snakes among us. You don't have to look under your seat. He doesn't send venomous snakes among us. But it does say in verse 16 that we will perish. It does say that, doesn't it? We will perish if we stay in the same state that we're in now. But here's the great news. The great news is Jesus is saying God loves us. He loves us so much, he's not going to leave us in that predicament. Verse 16 there says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us so much, he sent Jesus to die for us, to be our rescuer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he was taking the punishment for our sin. He was, as it were, taking the venom from us into himself. And dying in our place so that all our wrongdoing can be forgiven. You see, on the scale of good to evil, we hope we're all right. But actually, if God draws the line, he draws it so high that all of us are underneath it. None of us can save ourselves through our religious good deeds or our religious activities. None of us can. We need a rescuer. And Jesus came to be that rescuer. See, the great news is God loves us so much, He sent Jesus to die for us. And it says we need to believe in him. Now, believing in him doesn't mean just saying, I believe he existed, or I believe he lived and died and rose to life again. Believing in Jesus is saying, I believe he died for me. And living with him as your Saviour and your Lord. And the great news is anyone can do it. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. Doesn't matter how bad you've been or how good you've been. Sometimes our goodness can get in the way of us doing this. We think we don't need Jesus, but actually we do. And Jesus said, it doesn't matter how good or bad you've been, you can enter into the kingdom. God in his love provided a means of rescue at the cost of his Son. He's done all the work for you. You need to trust in him. The question is, will we do it? Will we accept Jesus' death in our place? Why wouldn't we do it? We need to say to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. I need your death in my place. I need to be washed clean, as we said, baptism symbolizes. Will you do that? Maybe do that today. Spend some time with God and say, God, I need Jesus' death for me. If you're not yet a Christian, how about doing it today? And maybe you want to find out more. I can understand that. Maybe you want to discover more about Jesus. You think, actually, I've got questions. Do grab one of these notebooks, The Real Jesus. They're available as you leave. Do grab one of them. They're free. And do ask questions. Ask yourself. Ask questions about Jesus. So when Jesus met a religious nut, what did he do? He said to him, well, your religion and good deeds don't get you in with God. You need to look to the cross. And we pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us that you would help us to turn to Jesus, to the cross. Not looking to our own goodness or our own religiosity or anything like that to get us in with you, but looking to the cross of Jesus. Amen.